I will wait. Well, we're concluding our series, Stronger, and we've been looking at becoming stronger in our Christian life. Talked about things like becoming stronger in our faith, in our love, in our influence in the world. We talked about stronger salt. Talked about being stronger in our beliefs and in character, and specifically we talked about being stronger in truth. And last week, David talked about being stronger in commitment. And today, we're wrapping up the series by talking about being stronger in patience. Now, I want to start by asking you, what makes you lose your patience? What is it? I shared this before, but a while back, I was in an express line waiting. I was at a store, and anyway, I'm standing there waiting, and the sign clearly says 15 items or less.
Amen.
The person in front of me's cart is full. I mean, it was ridiculous, and so I started counting the items in the cart. I know, I need counseling, but that's a whole nother thing. So, the woman gets to the cashier, and she says, I'm in a hurry, I have a few more than 15 items. And I'm thinking, a few more? Are you kidding me? You have 63 more items in that cart. I thought it, didn't say it, I'm sure I showed it. And it tried my patience. The fact that I still remember it tells you something. So, for some of you, it's when you're at the drive-thru at the bank, and they're taking so long that you assume they're like working out a second mortgage on their home from the comfort of their car or something, and finally you get to the drive-up, and you grab the canister, and it's so hot you can't even touch it because it's went back and forth so many times, you know, and it just tries your patience. Others, it's when you're flying, and the person in front of you slams back and get your knees. Anybody, does that bug you a little bit? No, it's for some of you moms. And maybe it's when your preschooler wants to watch the 20th episode of Bubble Guppies and you're like, you know. Dads, maybe it's when you take out that brand new Nike Vapor driver and you realize your son has used it for a sword at some point. And that stuff just tries your patience. Those are the things that can make you lose your patience. And let's face it, that kind of impatience really affects our entire persona, doesn't it? We get impatient because we can't find a parking spot. We haven't received our tax return yet. We can't recall our password, and we're still waiting for that email so we can reset and get into the website that we're working with. You know, we get impatient because someone cuts us off on our way to church, and you follow them into the parking lot, and then, well, it's awkward, right? We get impatient because we're not married yet. We don't have a child yet. We haven't found the right job yet. We get impatient. Friends, impatience, it crosses all demographics. It hits every socioeconomic strata, rich, poor, middle class. When our patience runs low, uh-oh. You know, that's when a husband turns to a wife and wounds with words. It's when a wife gives her husband that look like, you're a jerk. It's that exasperated parent that says to a child, what is wrong with you? All the other kids get this. It's the employer that says to an employee, why do I even pay you? I'll just do it myself. So when a Christian looks heavenward and says, why am I in this situation again, God? See, patience, it gets tried. Impatience, we all deal with it, and we know the high price tag that's involved. Because we've all been wounded, right? We've been wounded by the impatience of someone else. Because we've all hurt other people with our impatience. Fact is, we've all seen the damage done by it. Professionally, relationally, spiritually. The New Testament, the word patience, it comes from the Greek. It's makrothumos. Macro meaning long, and thumos meaning anger. So patient people have long fuses, long anger. It takes them a while. Yet there's no infomercial out there that's going to help you with this. You can't read a book and become more patient. You can't absorb something in a seminar that'll make you stronger in patience. There's no magic formula. There's no pill, no regiment you can get on and go through that's going to help you in the area of patience. Nothing will give you patience in the natural realm. It doesn't happen, does it? But here's the good news. There's a supernatural way to get stronger in this area. Stronger when it comes to the area of patience in your life. See, God loves us so much. He loves you. He loves me. And he's not going to allow us to get tripped up when it comes to impatience. He's not going to let you mess up your life. In fact, God's committed through the Holy Spirit. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, God's placed the Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit produces things in your life, things like love and joy and peace and kindness. And as we're going to talk today, patience. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Now, Paul writes this in Colossians. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. See, the Holy Spirit's committed to a process of making us stronger in the area of patience. So how do you become stronger? I mean, how? How is it? Well, be patient and I'll get there, all right? You would think if we were going to become more patient, you would think God would place us in a position or in a situation where it's calming, where it's serene, relaxing situation. You would think that's how it would happen. But God doesn't work that way. See, God puts us in situations where we are tempted to be impatient. God will stretch us and develop us in those situations. God puts us in the situation or allows us to get in those situations in order that we might learn how to submit to the Holy Spirit. And so God kind of tests us. And it helps us get stronger. See, it's not like you think. I mean, God will test us through things like interruptions in our life. Have you ever noticed interruptions? They happen, don't they? God allows them to take place. Have you ever sat down for a nice meal? You've been working hard and you're ready to sit down and the phone rings as soon as you sit down? It happens all the time. We call it our dinner call. And I usually say, hello, Dad. You ever get ready to take a relaxing bath and the kids come in and inform you that they've just tracked mud all over the brand new carpeting? That's how it happens, those interruptions. You know, Jesus dealt with interruptions all the time. I find it interesting when I read through Scripture. Matthew 19 recalls an instance when Jesus is sitting and he's teaching, and he did a lot of teaching. And some small children, they come to Jesus. They want to talk. They want to be blessed by Jesus. And the disciples are about to send them on their way. And Jesus says, hey, whoa, 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 chill out. Let the kids come here. Don't be so impatient. I've got time for them. And you find Jesus always had time. He always had time. In fact, it's as you read the story, he ends up telling the disciples, he says, guys, you need to have faith like these kids here. Because if you don't, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And when I read the Gospels, you know, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is interrupted all the time. And yet he very patiently deals with whatever the situation is. He sees it as an opportunity. When interruptions happen in our lives, friends, they're a test. It's a test. God's wondering how you and I are going to respond to that test. There's inconveniences in life, right? They build patience. You know, we hate to wait, true? We want things fast. That's why you got instant coffee. We want instant promotions. We want instant marital bliss. We want instant spiritual maturity. We've got this quick fix kind of mentality, this microwave mentality. We want it, and we want it when? Now. We want it now. I love watching people wait for the elevator. You know, you got people that are, you know, waiting on the elevator. Other people are doing this deal, you know. Which one are you? You know, they're back and forth. You know why they're going back and forth? Trying to figure out which elevator's coming first. Now, oh, it looks like this one. No, this one. You listen. Anybody listen for the sound? Just so you know, yes. Like yo-yos going back and forth. And my favorite is when there's a bunch of people waiting, the light's on the elevator, and the person comes up and goes, you know, it makes it go faster, doesn't it? Woo! Yeah. Inconveniences, we all face them. It's the detour. You know, you're running late, and you end up in road construction. You know, it's the flight that gets delayed. You're waiting on somebody, and they're late, and they're putting you behind schedule. It's having to change an appointment. It's the garbage disposal that decides to quit working on Thanksgiving Day. It's the flat tire. You know, one day Jesus, he's teaching a large crowd. And he's been teaching most of the day. And people are getting hungry. And the disciples come to Jesus and they said, it has been a really long day. Let's dismiss the crowd. Let them go home so they can get something to eat. And Jesus is kind of processing. He goes, no, I want to keep teaching. Let's feed them. In fact, you guys feed them. And the disciples, it's a big inconvenience. I mean, how are they going to do it? They don't have the money. There's no caterer out in the desert. It's a big inconvenience. But if you know the story, the apostles, they end up gathering up what they can. They end up with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus performs a miracle. And he feeds 5,000 people. But it was out of that inconvenience. You know, God allows us to deal with irritations. You know, I'm talking about the stuff that bugs you, that gets under your skin. Jesus understood that. In fact, one of the stories, I love the story of Mary and Martha. And Jesus is at their home, and he's visiting. And Martha, and I want you to think Martha Stewart, all right? She's doing all the work. Martha's decorated the table. She's prepared the food. She probably had a thematic party and had everything just so. But Mary's not pulling her weight. Mary's sitting and she's talking to Jesus. And Martha goes off. Short fuse here. And she confronts Mary. She's like, you're not helping. I'm the only one that's doing stuff around here. And so Martha complains to Jesus about it. And I wonder today, how many of you feel like Martha? You feel like you're the only one that's doing stuff at work. You're the only one that's pulling your weight in a relationship. You're the only one that's committed to the marriage. You're the only one that's faithful to the plan. Friends, it's a test. It's a test. It's a test. Irritations happen, but they help us grow. They help us beef up in the area of patience. When I was a kid, I used to play with fireworks, all right? Firecrackers. I am not recommending it, all right? Not a good idea. But we would light the firecrackers. And some of them had really short fuses. And so we would light them and get rid of them really quick. And it was really dumb. I mean, we could have burned ourselves or lost a finger. But the fact is, some of us have short fuses. True? Even with people that we love, the fuse is short. And it blows up sometimes. Anybody lost their patience recently? Boom! It's problematic. God's in the business of making us stronger when it comes to our patience. God's Holy Spirit is working in us, and if we allow, the Holy Spirit will build us in this area as we go through the tests, as we go through these problems, these things that we tend to look at in a very negative way. The Holy Spirit's going to use those things to make us stronger. So what can we do to cooperate with the Holy Spirit? Well, here's how it goes, kind of. God takes us through these situations, the interruptions, the inconveniences, the irritations, things that really get to us. And it's really no mistake that those three words start with the letter I. Because that's the problem with impatience. We are focused on I. We're focused on ourselves. We are thinking about number one and how this impacts us. We become very me-istic. You know, my schedule being interrupted, my agendas being interrupted, my feelings, my finances, my time. And so we focus on the big I. It's about me. And when we focus on the big I, we really don't have the eyes to see what God wants us to see. Because I'm focused on it. And God says, I want you to see something different. I mean, if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit will help us see what God wants us to see in that situation. The Holy Spirit will gently turn our heads and change our focus and help us grow and become stronger. In fact, the Holy Spirit will turn our head and our eyes off of ourselves, off the things that, doesn't make me feel good. Oh, I want this. Oh, this is problematic because it impacts me. And the Holy Spirit will begin to help us get stronger by teaching us how to look. You know, in those moments when my patience wears thin, the Holy Spirit strengthens us. Kind of turns your head, turns your eyes toward God. You know, when I take my focus off myself and I begin to look to God in those moments, I begin to contemplate the nature of God, the character of God. I think about how patient God is. You know, I realize that God's been patient with unbelievers for thousands of years. God's has a very long fuse. God's been patient with me. Do you realize he's been patient with you? You know, Scripture says the Lord's not slow about his promise. The promise there is talking about the second coming of Jesus, that someday Christ is going to come again and take us home to be with him in heaven. It says the Lord's not slow about making that happen, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. See, God is patient. He's wanting to postpone, slow it down. Some of you are trying to figure out where God fits in your life. And friends, that's fine. But you need to know, based on Scripture, that one day God's patience runs out. One day you're going to breathe your last breath on this planet. And you know, today might be the day. The last time you get an opportunity to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior. Boom, it's over. I mean, you never know. But God's patient. God is patient. You know, for those that haven't taken that step to make him your personal Savior, I want you to think about, you know, taking that step. Many of us have taken that step. I want you to think about before you became a Christian, all those years that you wandered around, that you maybe rejected God, that you ignored God, did your own thing. You ever think about you tested God's patience during that time? I mean, all those years. You realize how patient God's been with you. You know, sometimes it's tempting for me when I see people that don't have that relationship with God and they haven't taken the step to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes after a length of time, I want to go grab that individual and go, wake up, wake up. You're trying God's patience. You know, I do not want anyone to spend eternity without God. And I was thinking about it. It's kind of ironic. I get impatient with God's patience. But God is patient. And God waits. And I think, okay, so I can preach and I can teach and I can try and point individuals toward God, but it's really an individual choice. But friends, when I contemplate the nature of God and the character of God, I cannot help but look and realize how patient God's been with unbelievers and how patient God was with me before I gave my life to him. I also, when I think about God, I think about how patient God is once I became a Christian. I mean, Simon Peter, he's an icon of inconsistencies, isn't he? I mean, one minute, Peter's walking on water by faith, and the next moment, he's drowning in a sea of doubt. You know, one minute he's telling Jesus, I will die for you. And the next minute he's denying, going, I don't know who Jesus is. And friends, when I think about him, and I think about me, and I think, Peter doesn't have anything on me. God has been patient with me in spite of my character flaws, in spite of my weakness and my words and my thought life. God's been patient. God's been forgiving. God's worked on me and with me through the years. God's amazingly patient. A while back, I was at a restaurant. I'll not name the restaurant because, well, you need to have a good opinion of them, and yeah, you won't after this. But anyway, we got to the restaurant, and I got in line to get on the list. And no joke, I'm about to step up, and a lady almost knocks me over, just cuts right in front of me. And then she gives me kind of the look like, you know, early bird gets a worm, dude, you know. And for a moment, I considered, well, misconduct penalty, maybe. Bit my tongue. But in that moment, it was kind of like the Holy Spirit's like, let it go. Yeah, you could probably take her, but let it go. Quit being meistic. It's not a deal. There's only two people in her party. You've got seven in your party. It's not a deal. And so I waited. When she was done, I gave the hostess my name. I told her we had seven in our party. And then I asked her, I said, how long's the wait? And she said, oh, about an hour. I said, okay. And so I returned, and we're talking to our friends. And about 10 minutes in, I kind of am looking around, and I realize everybody's got a pager. And so I'm thinking, well, I didn't get a pager. So I go back up to the desk, and I said, hey, I didn't get a pager. Was I supposed to? Oh, I erased your name. I didn't think you were staying. And so she rewrites my name at the bottom of the list. And so now I'm down six or seven people further. And normally I would have pushed back a little bit, but it was like the Holy Spirit's whispering and going, Damon, let it go. It's okay. It's really okay. You know, you could probably take her too, but let it go. You know. The Holy Spirit just kept whispering. You know, you haven't seen your friends for a while. This will just give you some extra time to talk with them. And so I'm like, okay. So I got the pager and went back. About 25 minutes later, God's got a sense of humor, I'm convinced. My pager flashes. And so we all get up from the bench, and the seven of us zigzag through the restaurant. We get to the table for four. I said, we got seven. Oh, I pressed the wrong number. Sorry, wrong party. And so we zigzag back, and we get back. Now we're standing in the middle of the lobby because we gave up our seats. Same. And the Holy Spirit's, this is a test. It's only a test. Let it go, Damon. Damon, you see your buddy Chris? See how he's handling it? Now you have to know, my buddy Chris that was with us, most patient guy I know, hands down. He's just phenomenal with his patience. But the Holy Spirit didn't let me go there. It's like, Damon, think about how patient God's been with you. See, it's a new view, isn't it? If you try and navigate a situation like that, looking at yourself, you're going to trip up. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. In fact, some of you just hearing the story, well, I would have done this, and I would have done this, and you know, you should have done that. Friends, you're never going to get stronger. You will remain weak if you allow impatience to rule in your life. You know, Proverbs 14:29 says, a patient person is very what? Smart. Say it like you mean it. Is very what? Smart. Smart. A quick-tempered person makes stupid mistakes. The Holy Spirit will show us how to look in situations. The Holy Spirit will make us stronger. It's part of spiritual maturity, but you got to look to God. The Holy Spirit also teaches us how to lean. And I have said in life, you got to lean totally and completely on God. And in those situations, when you're being challenged, when your patience is wearing thin, you know, whether it be in your marriage or in business or in a relationship or at school or whatever, when it's wearing thin, we're not to keep asking God, why? Why am I going through this? Why do I got to face this? Why all the problems? Why all the struggles? It's the wrong focus. You got to refocus in your life. God, what is it that you want to teach me? What is it that you want me to learn in this situation? But friends, you got to learn to lean on God in those times. Psalms say, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait and wait and wait and wait patiently for him to act. Patience is an expression of faith. In fact, it shows your spiritual maturity. The Bible's all about patience. It's a book all about waiting. You know, Noah, he starts building an ark, and then he waits 120 years for the flood to happen. Abraham, he's 100 years old before he has a son named Isaac. Israel waits for centuries for the Messiah. The Chicago Cubs are still waiting. Sorry, Cub fans. So you want to get stronger in this area of your life? You got to learn to lean on God, and you got to lean on people who are patient. Proverbs 22 says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared." See, impatience, it's a highly infectious disease, isn't it? I mean, here's how it goes. You're in a situation, and you're feeling a little impatient. You're getting a little angry. And so you go and you share your anger with someone. And you share your anger with someone that has a short fuse. Boom. It fuels the fire, doesn't it? It doesn't lead you down the right path. There are many times in my life when I'm upset and I'm angry and I'm teetering between patience and impatience. And I'm fighting with the Holy Spirit. You know, the story I shared with you, that happens, but sometimes I don't do so well. And when I really feel that battle, I pick up the phone. And I call one of my buddies that I'm in accountability relationship with. And I'll call Dan or Jim or Chris, the guy at the restaurant that I was telling you about. And the Holy Spirit works through them to calm me down. See, I've learned I need that. I can lean on God, but sometimes I also need to lean on some patient people that kind of talk me off the cliff. They caution me. They encourage me. And so I lean on them. There's one more thing I think the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives when we're impatient. Learn to laugh. You ever realize God laughs? Scripture says the one enthroned in heaven laughs. God laughs. Scientists figured out a long time ago that when we laugh, our whole muscular system kind of relaxes. The body produces those endorphins that make us stronger, healthier. If you don't laugh regularly, there's something wrong in your spiritual life. Did you hear that? There's something wrong. Many of you, the best thing you could do for yourself today is laugh a little. The reason why most people don't laugh is we take ourselves way too serious. We put such an emphasis on things that just don't matter. And I want to say, lighten up. Lighten up. And here's the other thing I think that keeps us from laughing. Not only do we take ourselves too serious, we don't take God serious enough. We serve a God that laughs, a God that's full of joy. And I think if we realize that God calls us to that same kind of joy, we would shift. In fact, I ask you today, have you laughed recently? Have you? God wants you to find some fun or joy in the midst of the frustration, whatever it is you're facing today. You know, Scripture says a relaxed attitude lengthens a person's life. It makes you stronger. You know, after childhood, many people, their life becomes this marathon of frowns. And oh, how bad things are and how awful it is. And too many people are sacrificing that sense of humor on the altar of adulthood, I think. I mean, it's just sad. Life's too short. The Bible says there's a connection between strength and laughter. Scripture says she's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Laugh a little. Love, laugh, pray. A couple weeks ago, I get up on Sunday morning, and I go through my message a couple times, just trying to work bugs out and what have you. My grandkids were there, and they got up early that day, and so it was about 5:30. They come flying up the steps, and so they're sitting in the living room, and I'm right just a few feet from them, and I'm going through my message. And I got to this one part, and I look over, and they're all doing this. And so I kind of looked at them, and then one of them spoke up. He goes, "Well, the first part, Grandpa, was good, but that story you're telling, boring, boring, boring." I had to laugh, and then I sent him to time out, but anyway, I'm just kidding. There are many times that I've been with colleagues, the guys that I was talking about, I'm in accountability with, we'll be together, and we'll be talking about problems and struggles and stuff in life, and we'll get laughing so hard that people will ask, "What are you guys drinking?" You know, we're like, "Iced tea." And they'll usually kind of give us that look like, "Yeah, okay, what are you on?" You know. And I want to go, something only God can provide. See, you find patience, and you find that your patience gets stronger when you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you how to laugh a little bit at the stuff that's going on. Enjoy life just a little bit more. Sometimes you have to laugh, don't you, to keep from crying? That's not just a saying. There are many times the things when it really just kind of goes off the rails and you go, "Wow, can it get any?" You just have to laugh. Now, what's going to happen today when you walk out of here? You're going to be tested. You may get tested in the parking lot as you're leaving today. You may get tested in line, maybe the express line. Maybe that woman that has too many groceries in front of you is going to be there, and you're going to go, 63. I remember he said 63. You may get tested at lunch. You may get tested at work. You may get tested in a relationship. You may get tested by some circumstance in your life. But here's what I know. You will be tested. And what is going to happen next? What are you going to do? Are you going to silence the Holy Spirit and go, "I'm not listening"? Are you going to respond and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you something? New look? New lean in your life? A little laughter? You'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. But you got to keep looking this way. You got to keep giving God the reins in whatever it is that's challenging you and beating you down. And friends, if you maintain that, get your eyes off yourself, look to God and lean on God, lean on some friends, and then laugh a little bit, find something, you will get stronger. And life will be better. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise you. God, I pray that whatever the test is, well, maybe it's a momentary thing. We realize we're just really impatient. God, I pray your Spirit would just whisper to us in those moments. That we'd not let them gain strength, mess us up. God, then there's the stuff that it's got a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of struggle, challenging us on multiple fronts. God, I pray in those moments that we'd especially listen to your Holy Spirit, that we'd just lean on you through that. God, that we'd realize as we're going through that we can get stronger. God, we just thank you that you love us enough that you know what's going on. God, we just lift those things to you today that are wearing us thin. God, help us to say the things that we need to say that are pleasing to you. Do the things that will help us get through. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. God's people said. We're going to stand.